Hope everybody had a blessed day. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you do bless us, Lord, in wonderful ways, Lord. And Lord, even when it seems like we struggled during the day, you were there. We're so thankful for that. And Lord, we just want to have thankful hearts to praise you now, Lord. Let's pray that your spirit would come upon us to refresh us, cleanse us. Lord, that through that, through our time of worship, you prepare our hearts to hear your word, Lord. We ask for those ears to hear, a heart to receive, Lord. You are so good. And we want to be good for you, Lord. We want everything we do be pleasing to you. So as we worship you now, Lord, may it be as you created us to be. All for your glory. And we just lift up our voices, our hearts, our thoughts to you now. In Jesus' name. Would you like to stand?
Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth,
Lord of all creation. Lord, reveal your heart to me.
great divide. Let behind heaven's throne to build a mirror inside. There at the cross you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I have hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glory.
Freedom, I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hand that healed nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, really forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Oh, glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, really forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, really forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Oh glorious day. Oh glorious day.
Expectation, seeing you face to face, Lord. But Lord, as you tarry, Lord, open up your word tonight, Lord. Lord, anoint Doug, Lord, with your spirit. Just speak to us, Lord. Speak to his heart, Lord. Protect his heart, Lord. Lord, and just bless. Open up our ears, Lord. Just have your way with us tonight, Lord. May we desire that, Lord. May we have willing, obedient hearts, Lord. Just wanting, Lord, just to hear more of you, Lord. Lord, the words that will change us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We just sang a song, I Speak Jesus. I love that song. But I'm not going to sing it to you. However, I just want to verbalize verse 1. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. And Father God, we just thank you that your presence is with us right now. Use me, Lord, to share your message. Prick hearts, open ears, open eyes, open minds, Father God. Help us to see you more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to John chapter 4. I entitled tonight's message, Knock, Knock. No, it's not a joke. Jesus is knocking. Last time we were together, we were in chapter 3. And we're going to do a little bit of a recap because I think it's important and I think it is instrumental in our study of chapter 4 tonight. In John chapter 3, we studied how Nicodemus came to Jesus. He came by night. He came in the darkness to the living, eternal light. Now, Nicodemus, as you recall, was a Pharisee. He was a teacher. He knew the law. He taught the law. And he knew Jesus as a teacher. Not as Lord and Savior, but as a teacher. And knowing Jesus as a teacher and being a man of the law, he wanted to know more. He wanted to learn more. There was a hunger in his heart that only God could satisfy. As I thought about this, I thought of this idea. We could actually kind of think of Nicodemus as a private investigator. Think about it. He had questions. He wanted answers. And he knew where to get them. Just like any good private investigator would. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The first time I read these verses, it struck me. Ask, seek, and knock. Take the first letter of each one of those words, and what does it spell? Ask. You've got to ask. You've got to seek. And by doing that, you're actually knocking on a door. That seemed so cool to me. It's like, ask. Oh, yeah. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be open to you. A-S-K. Doesn't get much simpler than that, and I need simple. So Nicodemus came to Jesus. God had already been knocking on the door of Nicodemus's heart. Nicodemus was answering that knock through this visit with Jesus. During their dialogue, Jesus was answering the one question that Nicodemus hadn't asked. Jesus was explaining the new birth. John verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus is speaking of regeneration, the beginning of a new life, the necessity of the new birth. This necessity grows out of the incapacity of the natural man to see or enter into the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Who here was born of flesh? You're all flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Who's born of the Spirit here?
Amen.
Okay? However gifted, however moral, or however refined the natural man may be, he is absolutely blind to the spiritual truth. And he's absolutely incapable of entering into the kingdom of God on his own merits. I've shared this before. You can't buy yourself in. You can't lie yourself in. There's nothing you can do of your own to get in. Because man cannot obey, he cannot understand, and he cannot please God in the flesh. You just can't do it. It's not possible. This new birth is not a reformation of the old nature, but rather an ordained act of the Holy Spirit to renew right standing with our Heavenly Father. Turn with me to John chapter 3, verses 30 through 36. They're not going to be up here on the screen, but I'm going to read through here. John 3, verses 30 through 36. This is John. He's talking to his disciples, and he's talking about Jesus Christ. He's testifying about Jesus. He says, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The condition of the new birth is faith in Jesus Christ as our crucified, buried, and resurrected Lord and Savior. Through the new birth, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature and the life of Jesus Christ himself, because the Holy Spirit is sent and indwells each and every one of us. Why? Very simple. John 3, verses 16 through 18. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," who's a whosoever here? Okay, just checking. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Here we clearly see God in all his essence and the reason that Jesus came to die. This is the salvation message, and it's as clear as it can be. It can't be much simpler than that. Let's get into chapter 4, verse 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." So the following of Jesus Christ is growing, and it's growing quickly. His disciples are baptizing many. In chapter 3, we read and we saw that John's disciples were baptizing also. So many were being drawn to be saved, to be baptized, and to begin their new life. But notice, the religious leaders of the time, the Pharisees, are taking note and growing concerned. Imagine this for a second. You're the de facto authority, or subject matter expert, if you will, that everyone comes to seeking guidance. Whatever the topic may be, you are the expert. And you're enjoying your life because you're the one they come to. Now somebody else comes along. And this one is a little wiser than you are. And they're drawing more people than you are all of a sudden. Wouldn't you start to think, if so many are following this one, how soon before there's none left to come and ask me anything? Or, in other words, how soon before I'm out of a job? So the Pharisees were paying attention. And they felt threatened. So they wanted to do something about it. But Jesus, knowing their heart and knowing his time had not yet come, departs from there to return to Galilee. He doesn't have time for a conflict. Another heart's door needs to be knocked upon. Another soul needs to be drawn into the kingdom. Now, in order to return to Galilee, as we just read, he must needs go through Samaria. I love the old King James, just for that language. He must needs go to Samaria. Samaria was a region in the middle of Palestine, and it was between Judea to the south and Galilee to the north. The shortest route from Judea to Galilee was a straight line, straight through Samaria. Shortest point, or shortest distance between two points. However, it was not the only route. The other route was a roundabout through Perea, east of the Jordan River. In Jesus' day, because of the Jews' hatred of the Samaritans, they normally took the eastern route in order to go around and avoid Samaria altogether. The Samaritan people were racially mixed, and their religion resulted from the merging and assimilation of several originally discrete traditions, especially in the theology and mythology of different religions, which allowed for an inclusive approach to other faiths. Does that sound like anything around here that we know of? It's amazing how things don't change. Nothing new under the sun. Jews and Samaritans did not interact. It just didn't happen. Samaritans were deemed unclean by the Jews. After all, they were Gentiles. Who in here is a Gentile? Guess what? Welcome to the despised. But Jesus had a divine appointment that he is determined to keep. He chooses the route straight through Samaria in order to reach the people of the region, and especially one particular woman. He is omniscient. We know this. He knows all. He knows that she will be at a particular place, at a particular time, and that she needs what he has to offer as God knocks on the door of her heart. She doesn't realize it, of course, but he knows it. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or about noon. Arriving in Samaria, he rested at Jacob's well. He is God come in human form. Therefore, he experiences weariness. He experiences thirst, hunger, aches, pains. He can appreciate what we experience every single day. And the older I get, the more aches and pains I feel. Everything we experience, he experiences, so that he can relate to all that we go through. Hebrews 4:15 reads, "For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus is sitting at the well, and he is tired. But still, he has a divine appointment he is bound and determined to keep. Let me ask, have you ever had something that was so important you didn't delay to get to it? You not necessarily rushed it to get it done, but it was that important you had to do it. Don't leave me up here by myself. Come on. Okay. Yes, this is interactive time, in case you didn't know. Jesus never rushed into anything. But all is equally important to him. Everything is equally important to him. And such is the case here with this upcoming appointment that he has. Notice, his disciples continue into town while he stays back. This appointment is private and personal. No one else needs to be present. I would even suggest to you, John wasn't present as an eyewitness. Yes, he wrote this. But I would suggest he wasn't there. I would suggest that it was through either Holy Spirit, divine intervention, and inspiration, or word of mouth after the fact, that he learned of this and was able to write it and share it with us. I would also suggest that each one of our salvation encounters was at least initially personal and private. Just you and God. Some of you know my testimony. Some of you don't. I'm going to share just a little snippet with you. This is going back many, many years now. My sister was bound to get married to her first husband. My father came up from out of state. I was living in sin with a girl and her two sons. My father visited me. And during our conversation, he shared his salvation message with me. It wasn't the salvation message. But in it, he said, "I have not had so much fun until I became a Christian." Now, I was miserable at the time. You can ask my wife. She can pickle puss. I was actually worse than that. But when my father told me that, that light bulb went off in my head. I said, "That's what I want." So when he left, I went up to my bedroom and I fell on my knees. And I had a personal, private appointment. Just me and God. Now, along with me, you folks, others may have learned about your experience or my experience after the fact. But again, that first encounter was between you and God alone. Such is the case with the Samaritan woman. Notice something else with me here. She's not named. She's anonymous. You know why? Go ahead, ask me why. I'm glad you asked. That gives us the opportunity to see ourselves in this encounter. Jesus knew us before the foundation of the world. He knows that we were filthy, wretched sinners from our mother's wombs. Yet, he loves us with an eternal love. Again, John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Who believes on him? You're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's that simple. And yet it's that difficult for some people. Jesus comes with love in his heart because he is God incarnate. They are one. And God is love. It's his essence. That's who God is. That's what God is. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus reaches out to her through a simple request. Give me a drink. It wasn't an order. It wasn't a demand. It was a simple request. He doesn't care about her past. He isn't concerned about her ethnicity. He is drawing her to himself and eternal salvation. Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself? And his children, and his cattle? Jesus is calling her out lovingly. She's resisting legally. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. He calls her to a spiritual life. She instead focuses on her physical needs and desires. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Despite her many failings, he welcomes her and draws her to himself. But notice what she did. She redirects instead of facing the facts and facing reality. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God tugs at the heartstrings. Notice, though, please, he will never force himself upon anyone. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. So here's a question. Who here has Samaritan blood in them? Who among us argued, dodged, or ran from Jesus Christ when he was attempting to call us to his marvelous salvation? I know I did. As you know, again, my testimony, my beloved stepmother introduced God into the lives of my father and myself. My father was all in. I was the exact opposite. I ran, I rebelled, I resisted, I wanted nothing to do with it. Mostly because I didn't understand it, but that was just an excuse, really. So I ran as far and as fast as I could. Truth be told, I was no match for Jesus. I was just creating my own inconvenience and my own delays. God just sat back and allowed me to continue to be a fool. Until I got so tired of it, I fell on my knees and I challenged him. God, if you're real, you come into my heart. You save me. You become my Lord and Savior. And he has. John 4, verse 7. Says, give me a drink. Jesus makes a simple request of the Samaritan woman. A Jew asks a Samaritan woman, the ice is broken. He addresses her first. He didn't wait for her to acknowledge him. He didn't wait for us to acknowledge him. Before he began knocking on our hearts' doors. And he is very, very gentle, very loving, as is his nature. She, on the other hand, is hostile, leery, insecure, uncertain. Sound familiar to anybody? Who is he to even dare speak to her? After all, he's a Jew. She's a Gentile. A Samaritan. How dare he? He's focused on her spiritual need. She's focused on her physical need. He's focused on her eternity. She's focused on her immediate, her right now. He reveals her past to her, and she deflects from the personal reality. How many times have we had God reveal something from our past, only to deflect it or pass it off as, no big deal? I admit there were more times than not God had to continually bring me back until I stopped deflecting. And I was good at it. You needed an excuse. I could come up with one. But I began confessing. And only then were the issues dealt with. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now watch this. Verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She expects the Messiah, which is called Christ, because he will tell her all things. He reveals himself to her. Here it is. I am. Where have we heard that before? She is looking for a revelation, some big thing. How often do we, when we're called by him, we want that big thing? She's looking for conventional and convenient. He brings unconventional and inconvenient. She wants it her way, on her terms. He provides the way, the truth, and the life. Let me ask you, have you been running, resisting, or rebelling against the knock on your heart's door? Most of you I know, most of you are born again. But to whomever may be listening to this or watching this, that I don't know, this goes out to you. Do you want salvation on your terms? Are you unwilling to allow Christ in until you are ready? Loved ones, today is the day of salvation. Now is the hour drawn nigh. Tomorrow doesn't exist. It's just a dream. And yesterday, well, that's history. You're never going to get it back. Your moment is right now. If you want Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I encourage you, bow your head, close your eyes, pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I have run from you, rebelled from you, rejected you. But Lord, I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. I invite you into my heart. Change me, Father God. Cleanse me. Redeem me. Father God, you are my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In closing, the worship team can come on up. Another song. It's the chorus to the song, Overwhelmed. And again, I'm not going to sing it to you. You're welcome. But the chorus goes this way. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed by you. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, or if you just prayed that prayer and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this should be your reaction, especially once the 18 inches from your head to your heart is covered, as taught to us recently by our beloved Pastor Harry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your word, Father, and for so many lessons that you teach us through your word. And Lord God, we do thank you and praise you that you did send Jesus into this world. to die for each and every one of us. A very horrible, dreadful death, Father God, but so necessary. We thank you that through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection 3 days later, he defeated death, he defeated the enemy, and he is our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we praise you and thank you for this message tonight. And again, we just pray that hearts have been touched. We love you and praise you, Lord. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.